Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A federal court of appeals rules that a school district cannot enforce its pronoun policy. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, this was a great decision from the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, and it granted an organization, it's a parental rights group called Defending Education. It granted this group a preliminary injunction, citing that the group is likely to succeed on the merits on the claim that students cannot be punished for using biological pronouns under the First Amendment. Did you ever think you'd be talking about this, where students could possibly be punished for using biological pronouns that you learn in school?
No, it's crazy. The good news is that that is the decision. The concerning news is that this was en banc, meaning all of the judges, in this case 17 of them, and it was a 10-7 opinion, 10-7. So they only had three more judges that voted one way. Seven of them would have gone the other way.
So seven did not agree with using
seven.
Oh my goodness.
Seven felt that schools could force people to use false pronouns.
No wonder students are not getting educated.
I mean, that's concerning, isn't it?
Yes.
So it granted the request to block the local school district from punishing students for addressing other students by their given names and pronouns consistent with their biological sex. So the Sixth Circuit granted a preliminary injunction citing that the group is likely to succeed on the merits of its claim that students cannot be punished for using biological pronouns under the First Amendment.
I mean, could you imagine, okay, you have a child, you teach the child, okay, this is a girl, it's a she, it's a her, this is a boy, it's a he, it's a him. And then the child goes to school and they totally try to brainwash the child with the opposite.
Well,
it's ludicrous.
It's, you know, it's not even that easy.
And you go to school to get educated.
That, you know, you have a girl and now that girl wants to be known as a boy, as crazy as that is, or a boy, and now the boy wants to be known as a girl. That's bad enough. But when we're talking about pronouns, we're not limiting to the opposite of what your reality is. We're not saying just there's two pronouns, you just flip them on their head. There's over 100 pronouns. And so each kid can have one of 100 plus pronouns. And you could have one kid saying that their pronouns are they, them. They, them. So they don't have he or she. They have they, them. That's their pronoun. So when you talk to that person or about that person, you have to say they did it instead of he did it or he was there. You'd say they were there.
But I only see one person.
But there's
right
only
there.
One person. Or you could have other things like ZI, all kinds of things that you've never heard of, 100 plus.
Lord help
it's
us.
It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And so each one of these, I guess they have to have a name tag with their personal pronouns on. Do you have to remember all these pronouns? So these kids can invent their own pronouns and their own names. They can live in a fantasy world. And then that means, you know, that's one thing for them to want to live in a fantasy world. It's another thing for them to force you to live in their fantasy world.
As well as teachers, I'm sure they were affected as well.
Well, imagine a teacher. I can't imagine. You know, you're sitting up there and you're opening up the classroom roster and you're going down through it, right? And you got 25 kids in your class. And each one of them, hypothetically, could have 25 different pronouns. And that teacher has to have a chart up front, right? That teacher has to be careful that when they talk to this particular kid, it's this pronoun. When they talk to that kid, it's a different pronoun. It's unbelievable. And then the school's going to punish you if you make a mistake, if you, quote, misgender that person, then you can be punished as a teacher. You can be punished or disciplined as a student.
Okay, I just got a visual of a funny little meme. Like, they'd have a name tag, and all of a sudden the name tag just opens up and rolls down on the floor with all the different
all the different pronouns.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, you could theoretically have a pronoun, one for every day of the week. On Monday, your pronoun is he, and then Tuesday, your pronoun is she, and Wednesday, your pronoun is they, and Thursday, your pronoun is ze, and on and on and on
it goes. This is school. You're supposed to be educating the truth, reading, writing, arithmetic, and all that stuff, not pronouns.
So this school said that misgendering, using the wrong pronoun from what somebody prefers, can be discriminatory, and it raises to the level of bullying or harassment under the Code of Conduct. Policy 5517 authorizes the district to, quote, vigorously enforce, close quote, discrimination based upon, quote, gender identity, close quote, which includes verbal conduct.
So if you're using a pronoun that someone does not prefer, even though it's not true, you're bullying them?
Yeah, that's bullying and harassment, and you will be punished. So according to the majority opinion, Judge Eric Murphy relied upon a 1969 U.S. Supreme Court precedent, Tinker versus Des Moines Independent School District, which upheld students' free speech rights to protest the Vietnam War. He goes on to say and writes, quote, the case about pronouns pits two important interests against each other. On the one hand, the school district has prohibited speech, biological pronouns, that expresses a message on a matter of pressing public concern. And because the district requires other speech, parentheses, preferred pronouns, that expresses a compelling view, it has discriminated based on the students' viewpoints. He goes on to say that the school district was wrong to consider biological pronouns as something abusive.
No, I love this. One of the judges also wrote a concurring opinion and stated that if the First Amendment stands for anything, it stands for freedom from a government rewrite of standard English. Preach it.
You know? Now, that's pretty common sense.
Yes.
Because the government is trying to rewrite a standard English. You know, when they're learning Spanish, if they teach Spanish at this school, or any other foreign language, just like English. You know, they're trying to rewrite English.
Pronouns are very black and white.
They're
in
pronouns
foreign languages.
In there. They're very, and you know, like with regards to pronouns in some of these foreign languages, not as much in English. We have pronouns, obviously, in English, but we actually have certain kinds of endings on words,
right?
Nouns or adjectives that actually match their feminine or masculine.
Right, like mucho, muchas,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, they have that. So what do they do with that?
Muchachas,
those are gender-based words within the Spanish language. How do you get around teaching that? Do you all of a sudden
it's very basic.
Neutralize those or what?
Yeah.
It's the most absurd thing. So, you know, defending the one judge also said, the same judge that issued the concurring opinion, defending freedoms, speech is an honest expression of how they view reality. The core protected speech, wrote Judge Bush. Quote, government regulation is coercive, whether it compels or censors. Those are two sides of the same coin. In either case, he continues to write, the policy forces students to monitor their use of ordinary English or face punishment that abridges speech in violation of the First Amendment.
Thank goodness for common sense judges.
Yeah, but what happened to the other seven?
I don't know.
The other seven apparently assumed that you can slaughter the English language and you can force people to comply with some fictitious notion of fantasy world. And if you don't comply and go along with this fictitious notion of gender confusion, then you are the bad guy or bad woman or whatever. You are the bad actor, I should say, I guess. And therefore, you're going to be punished.
So they bought into the woke agenda and so afraid to speak out on truth.
And this is what's really, really concerning about judges
doing
that.
Very disturbing.
When we have the First Amendment. The First Amendment prohibits the government from doing exactly what this school district tried to do, and that is to force people to use specific language, coerce people into saying a specific government-approved message, and especially force people to violate the absolute basics of English grammar, which they've learned in school, and now they're being forced to violate everything that they were taught in their school up to this point, violate it and go along with this fictitious notion of non-reality. And if you don't, then you are the abuser, you're the bullier, you're the person harassing, and you will be punished. The good news is this has been overturned. The question now is, with this 10-7 decision, will this case be going to the United States Supreme Court? Certainly it's a good case to do that. It's about time this nonsense is overturned under common sense and the Constitution. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.